Let us listen to the words of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then our reading from Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In our series reflecting on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we have seen that in the person of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God has finally drawn near. Jesus, he is the long-promised Messiah. He is the seed of the woman who came to inaugurate the new covenant and crush the head of the serpent. He is the true King of Israel who would obey God's will in all things. He is the prophet greater than Moses who came to make God known in a much fuller way than anything which come before. He is the high priest who mediates between God and man, the one who will bring full and final atonement for sin through his life and death. And as a result of Jesus' work and ministry on earth, because of his love for and obedience to the Father, he won the right to an inheritance with God in glory. The work which was meant to be done by Adam in the garden was done by the Son, by Jesus Christ. And so right now, at this very moment, as we're seated here this morning, there is in heaven, at the Father's right hand, a man like us, a human being with flesh and blood in the presence of the Father, a guarantee of the future that awaits all those who've been adopted into God's family, all those who enjoy God's favor through faith in Jesus Christ. Now that is the reality for you if you are a Christian believer. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you have the privilege of calling God Father. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you have the right of sonship. All the blessings that belong to him belong to you. The right to eternal life with God in a new creation, the forgiveness of sin, peace with God, the promise of a new resurrection body. These are but some of the wonderful privileges that you enjoy as a Christian because of your union with Jesus Christ. His death has paid for your sin. His life has secured your future with God. Now you and I enjoy peace with the Father. Now we look forward to the return of Christ and to life in a wonderful new creation that is not under any kind of curse, a world where there is no hardship and no suffering, a world where those blessings which Jesus promised at the beginning of his sermon will be realized in all their fullness. That is the future which we await as citizens of God's kingdom. But it is not the reality of the present. As we confirmed also last week and have confirmed again in our liturgy this morning, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is under curse. We live in a world where there is sickness and disease. We live in a world where many people, including Christians, go without food and water and beds to lay their heads on. Life is a struggle to survive, and our faith in Christ doesn't remove or insulate us from these realities. There's no promise for Christians of riches in the present just because we trust in Jesus. There's no promise for the Christian of material and physical prosperity. There is no promise for the Christian of enduring health whilst we have decaying bodies and wait for that resurrection body that will be given to us when Christ returns. Long-lasting and close friendships, financial success, a good future for our children. Yes, we all want these things, most certainly, but they are not promises that we can claim for the here and now, for our earthly pilgrimage. Now, faced with the uncertainties of living in this world, we are tempted, are we not, to mitigate risk and to hoard as many possessions together as we can. If we set ourselves on chasing money, just $1 more, then we say or think that we'll be able to provide a measure of security and comfort. That is the plan, at least. The plan that we are taught from a very, very young age. With money in the bank, we can live in that home that we desire. We can ensure that there is always food on the table, and we can be ready for any and every rainy day. Now, planning for the future and working hard to meet our responsibilities is wise and godly behavior. It is the example of the ant that we are encouraged to follow from Proverbs chapter 6. And we are not acting in sin when we work hard in order to provide and meet our various responsibilities. This is the way in which God has set up this world: 6 days of labor, 1 day for rest and worship. Now, of course, as we saw last week, as citizens of God's kingdom, we are to live in this world, but we must make sure that money does not become our focus and our all-consuming purpose. Yes, it is needed for life, but it must not be our only aim to gather as many possessions as we can. It must not be our first thought in the morning and our last thought when we go to bed at night. No, rather, as citizens in God's kingdom, we must learn to trust God as our Father. We must learn to trust that God, who made this world, wants what is best for us and will care for us. That He will give us the things that we need as we pursue the purposes of His kingdom. Pleasing God must be our focus as Christians. Pleasing God in response to the wonderful grace that He has shown us, adoption as sons and daughters. Now, pleasing God, we know, was the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout His life, He set Himself on doing only the Father's will. But it is not a desire that comes naturally to any one of us. As a result of our sinful nature, even after our conversion to Christ and our union with Him, we still find it difficult to trust God with our lives. And the result is that we are not always so keen on getting on board with God's plans and purposes, on submitting to what He has revealed in His Word. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ knows that this is our nature. He knows that we have sinful natures. He knows that we are weak in this regard. And so to help us grow our trust in the Father, to help us learn and develop our confidence in His provision, He gives us three simple truths to consider in faith. three truths that are meant to help us let go of stress and anxiety and a sort of constant concern for money and making sure we have enough possessions. Three truths that are meant to help us have a measure of comfort and peace in the midst of all of life's uncertainties. The three truths which he's also told us about in the passage we read. Now, the first exercise that Jesus encourages us to do as kingdom citizens to help us trust our Father is very simply to look at and study nature. The birds and the bees, the plants and the animals, everything we see around us has been made by God and continues to be sustained by Him. Even after the fall, there is much beauty that remains in this world, and God cares for all of it. He provides food for the lion, we sang from Psalm 104. He provides food also for the birds and the fish of the sea. Of course, in His provision, nothing is instant and magical. God works through means. He set up a world with laws and order. Birds fly around and look for seeds or insects. Fish swim around in the sea and look for other fish to eat or plankton. Lions have to hunt for their prey. There is work that must be done in this world in order to live in it. But it is work that can and should be done without constant stress and anxiety. Such is what we see when we look at nature. The birds are not stressed, they just go about their business day by day. And that should help us to conclude, well, God our Father will most certainly care for us. As those made in His image, we are far more valuable than any other creature in this world. As those who've been redeemed by the blood of His Son, we are loved by God, loved beyond our imagining. If God has given us life, He is going to care for that life, even as He cares for the lives of other creatures who are not as significant or important as those made in His image. Now, it's important for us to know that this does not mean that there will not be hardships or suffering for us as Christians. It doesn't mean that there won't be death or pain. We see such things in nature, and we live in a fallen and cursed world. Such things will also come across our path. The realities of living in a sinful world remain. But we, as citizens of God's kingdom, we must learn to experience them as children who are confident that our Father is in control, and confident that our Father who is in control is working things for our good. We're not children living on the street, so to speak, who have to make do for ourselves, who have no one to care for us, no home to go to, no one to look after us. No. We are children who have been adopted, children who are living in a home where there are parents that care for them and know what is best. That is how we, as Christian believers, must learn to think of God. He is our Father for the sake of Christ. He has demonstrated His love for us in sending His Son. He is in control of this world. We can trust Him to work things for our good, no matter what should happen to us. In short, as children of the Father, we can give ourselves to pleasing Him. We can give ourselves to seeking the purposes of His kingdom, confident that He will care for us as we do so. So that was the first exercise to help us get rid of anxiety and stress and learn to trust God our Father. Look at nature, look at what happens in the world around you. A second exercise from our Lord Jesus Christ to help us in our service of God is to reflect very simply on the fact of anxiety itself. Now, some of us more than others will struggle with stress and anxiety on a daily basis. We'll worry, some of us, about where our next meal might come from. We'll worry about the future of our country and what will happen with the new elections after they are finished in May. We will worry about what is going to happen with our children should we disappear. Where are we going to find the means to make ends meet? There are lots of everyday concerns that we all have. They cloud our minds. They take up our hearts. Our thoughts are full of them. Now it is good for us as children of the Father to take these concerns to our Father, to pray about them, to ask for his help in letting them go, to give thanks for the various things that he has given to us already, that we can learn to appreciate his provision, to remind ourselves that his will for our lives is better than our own. These are some of the things which we can do to deal with our stress and our anxieties. But we can also, and I think this is what Jesus encourages us to do, is to consider the fact that our worries have absolutely no benefit. When we stress about the needs and concerns that we have in this world, we do nothing except make our lives miserable and difficult. It doesn't benefit us. It doesn't benefit others when we are stressed out and anxious. Like a rocking chair, it brings us nowhere. Now, knowing that our anxiety is useless helps us to put it in perspective. It's a truth which we must remember when we are stressed and anxious for things. But it is not something which we simply bring to mind and then all of a sudden our stress and anxiety goes away. You know, we're human beings. Certainly, in my experience, that's never been the case. When there's a crisis or something on our minds, knowing I mustn't be stressed about it doesn't simply make it disappear. In that regard, I think our Lord gives us the final exercise. A final exercise not so much about our thinking, but about our doing. Or to put it differently, it's an exercise in thinking which he gives to us that should encourage present doing. And that is what we see in the very final words which Jesus gives to us in verse 34. You and I, we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know if the upcoming elections will result in more stability or chaos for South Africa. We don't know when our work at a current employer might suddenly come to an end, or if we'll be sent somewhere we don't want to go. If we'll be forced maybe to move to a smaller home or to a different neighborhood. There are many uncertainties about the future. Will our pension be enough? But it doesn't do us any good to dwell on those uncertainties. Certainly, there's always room for wise planning and preparation, but when it comes to uncertainties, the best thing we can do is to simply get on dealing with the troubles of this day, the tasks that God has given to us, acting with integrity in our daily conduct, discipling our children, using our money in a responsible manner. Practically, when it comes to stress, anxiety, depression, one of the best things we can do is to get busy with the tasks that need to be done this day. And as we do so, we can be confident, we must be confident that God will look after us. If I should lose my work because I refuse to do something unethical, so be it. My Lord will continue to care for me. If I should change my work so that I can gather and meet with God's people, maybe I'm currently doing something that keeps me away from worship a lot of the time and I make a decision. No, I want to be there with God and his people. Might be a lesser income, whatever it might be, I trust God is going to keep looking after me. If I should fall sick or become injured, I'm not going to be left alone. My children won't be left alone if I should suddenly pass away. God has made me part of a church family. He's joined me to brothers and sisters who will look out for me, who have a responsibility even to look out for me. He's provided me with an earthly safety net that I can see. I can trust him to care for me going forwards. I can get on with living and pleasing God. I am not and I never will be alone in this world. So three exercises, therefore, given to us by Jesus to help us deal with stress and anxiety, to help us learn to trust that our Father will look after us. Look at the nature, the birds, consider the uselessness of worry and stress, and deal with the problems of today, rather than reflecting on what might happen and hasn't yet been realized. Now these exercises, they will help us to grow our trust in God. But what do we do as Christians with the many and various exceptions? Now, there are lots of times as we read through God's word where we see that there are believers that have to go without some basic needs. In our day and age, we also know of many believers who suffer persecution. North Korea, Nigeria, and so forth. There are many countries where Christians are not provided for in the way that our Lord Jesus seems to be promising in his words here in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, I think these realities should prompt us to realize that the provision of basic needs, which Jesus is testifying to in his sermon, is not an absolute provision. What I mean by that is that God's care for us in our daily living is not a promise that our life will be sustained with regular meals always and continue until we are 70 or 80 years old. By the grace of God, such is often the case, and many believers can testify to the same, but it is not always the case. We will be provided for by our Father as long as it pleases him to do so and to keep us in this world. Hunger and hardship might very well come across our paths, and if it does, we must understand that it is not something which lies outside of his will. It's not something which the devil has now brought about that God doesn't have control over. We don't become angry and despondent in those situations, but we remember rather that we are pilgrims in this world and that our true citizenship is in heaven. This, brother and sister, was the way and the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. True man, like you and me, true man, he trusted his Father to know what is best. Throughout his life, he was never anxious. He was never worried that God would stop caring for him. Even in the darkest moments of his suffering, he remained unwavering in his commitment to the Father's will. Through pain, through death, he gave his life to please the Father and to secure our future. And in this, he showed us that suffering is not the worst thing that can happen to a believer, to a person made in God's image. He showed us why we can rejoice when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He showed us that there is a life to come hereafter. He showed us that communion with God, peace with God, is the most precious gift that we can enjoy. A gift to be prized above all else. A privilege for which we must be willing even to die. Do not fear those who can burn the body, but the one who can throw body and soul into hell, he says. Still, it is not easy for us to remain faithful in hardship. It's not easy for us as kingdom citizens to let go of anxiety as we work and live in this world. It's hard to be a pilgrim on the way to the new creation. It's hard to take hold of God's promises and live in the light of them. And that is why we are not only given exercises by our Lord Jesus Christ, which we can sort of practice to help us grow our trust in God. It's why he has also given to us his Holy Spirit. The Spirit who dwells in our hearts so that we can call God Father. The Spirit who helps us to embrace the truth of God's words and to set our minds on things that are above. The Spirit who also nourishes and feeds us with the true body and blood of Christ when we partake of Holy Communion. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we come as those who are anxious, yes. Come as those who have various cares and concerns in this world, worries. But we come in order to be made confident, in order to have our faith strengthened, our trust in the Father encouraged and nourished. We come as those who believe, asking God to help our unbelief. We come to be fed by our Lord so that we will grow in our confidence that he is our Father, and so that we will grow also in our desire to seek his will and follow thereby in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us prepare ourselves there, therefore, to come to this table as I read for us from the form for Holy Communion.